All right, and joining us now is Jason Barker. Many of you know Jason. He's there on the chat frequently, but of course, he and Angry Tiger also have Knights of the Storm. They each have their own programs. Jason Barker has Foxhole Report. And last week, I saw what Jason had put up about the fact that he was having issues with Google, and so I wanted to get him on to talk about it, but he... I tried to reach out to him that day, but thanks for joining us, Jason. I tried to reach out to you, but, you know, you'd been up all night trying to work on this thing. Tell everybody what you've found out, because it's been a few more days now, and you're not a neophyte in terms of what's going on with the internet, with ISP and servers and other things like that. You have a lot of experience with that in the military with IT. So tell people what we were talking about last week, what you see happening with Google and you.
All right. Well, first I'll say, David, I think we've all been in Twitter jail mm-hmm. or Facebook jail, and or you or like me, I'm banned for life for YouTube on YouTube for Knights of the Storm. I can't even log in to delete my account. So wow. I can't log in to view anything.
Yeah. Join the club. I look at this stuff and it's like, how did these people get away with being on YouTube? I occasionally see this stuff and it's like, I don't understand. But anyway, yeah, they got you, they got me. And so go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So Google, and I see this as a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah.
As we move from the Internet of Things into the Internet of Bodies. And that's why it concerned me so much. So Google, they banned me after troubleshooting. I determined that my IP address was blocked. It was either my IP address or my MAC address, one or the other. It lasted about 48 hours and now it works. But I verified it because I used a VPN to go around and was able to do it. I also used my phone, took it off the Wi-Fi, so it was on data and I was good to go. So it was a physical address that they had blocked. Mm-hmm. And you might think to yourself, you know, big deal. So just use a different search engine. Well, that's where the problem lies. Almost every other alternative search engine uses Google on the back end. Mm-hmm. So they were worthless to me. Mm-hmm. Additionally, other websites that I would go to, there's so much Google code, little fragments of code for targeted advertising, for all sorts of things. And those websites, although they would come up, they would stall out eventually because they couldn't fully load. So I was done. I had to get the VPN to be able to do my show and stuff. So it was bad.
Wow. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, it is just, it is step by step, isn't it? You know, they're doing it from the inside and step by step, we see it with the shadow banning, with Twitter jail temporarily banning people, you know, completely banning people, and then the definancing of people. And now this is a bit different because you're talking about not even being able to use a search engine and being banned, you know, going to a secondary search engine that is built on top of Google, because Google is a substrate for a lot of these things. Their browser is used by so many other people. They just build their interface on top of what Google has as a foundation. And if they shut you off at the foundational level, and of course they're working on that as well. I talk about that many times, the CCPA, it sounds like the Communist Chinese Party of America, and it actually works like that. This Coalition for Content Provenance and Authentication, doing the same thing you're talking about. They identify you, they don't like your content, and they're going to block you from being able to post anything. So now they look at you, they've identified you, and they block you from being able to search anything.
Oh, I think what got me on their radar and got my social credit score into the negatives was I was watching Angry Tiger about a week or a week and a half ago. And it was very interesting. I made a comment. He was talking about bombastic reporting and how we could soil a message if we bombastically report things.
Right.
It kind of taints the whole cup, you know?
Yeah.
And I had made a comment, and this was on his YouTube channel. So he's still on YouTube. I think he's almost banned for life, but he's like on his last strike. But anyway, I made a comment saying, oh yeah, you know, you could talk about Hollow Earth and lizard people and all kinds of stuff, and you'll get millions and millions of followers. But if you talk about how Fauci, you know, releases the jab that kills children, and boom, that comment in real time was grayed out and nobody could see it.
Wow.
And then a couple minutes later, I could see it, but nobody else could see it. A couple minutes later, the topic had changed, and get this, the AI took two comments that I made months and months ago from a different platform. And they were talking about guns, what was a good handgun, and it was taken out of context. It made it look like I was doing a call to violence.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't post that. And then now I'm banned from Angry Tiger's his chat. So it's crazy.
You mean they banned you from his chat?
Yeah, I can't. Well, I think he might have done it thinking I was being spoofed. But that see, that was on my personal YouTube account. So what they've done this time was they went and they stopped me at my gateway.
Yes, yes. And that's really what this CCPA is about. You know, this is about, this is a coalition between hardware companies like Intel and ARM, you know, ARM processors, and the software companies like Adobe and others. So this is about identifying you at the machine level, at the very basic level, and then blocking your ability to do anything. And they don't even, this is, you know, before they even rolling CBDC out. So, you know, we know what's going to happen when they roll that out. It was pretty amazing. The first thing that got ever got banned at on InfoWars, and it was 5 years before they started, you know, before they banned everything, and long before they started any of the shadow banning as well. Because Facebook, when they started their live streaming, they went to Alex and they said, we want you to help to promote this new feature of live streaming on Facebook. And so, you know, it wasn't like this concerted effort, conspiracy effort to shut down, you know, InfoWars at that point in time. But when I did that thing on It's a Wonderful Lie on the Federal Reserve, they shut that down. And that was really amazing. And that was years before they did anything else. You know, you criticize the Federal Reserve. Oh, that's a raw nerve with them. Just like you don't criticize the pharmaceutical companies now. You want to know who rules you, as they say, you know who you can't criticize.
Oh, yeah. The Federal Reserve is a big one. I remember it was about a week or so ago, Tiger was on and he was talking banking. And within 10 minutes, they pulled his, they ended his live stream. That was, I think, his last strike that he's allowed, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, going back to the CBDC, and this is where I see it going. The Google thing completely interrupted everything. My wife's computer, her tablet, nothing could go on anything Google. Like I said, they blocked it at my physical address, and we pay our bills that way. Yeah. We pay our bills online. What if I worked from home? You know, there's a lot of working from home going on now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your platform may or may not work if it has Google plugins in it. And then, and I'm looking at this down the road as they install 5G, they're testing out in like 13 different cities, this Starlink stuff. They're trying to basically, they self-admitted want to cover the entire globe in a network with zero gaps in coverage. That's what they need to usher in CBDC. Now, when that happens, and as things go cashless, Billy Ray Valentine, I had on, and he was talking about in New York, there's a lot of places that don't take cash anymore. So now if your social credit score drops below a certain threshold, or you say something that they don't like, they could just cut off your, you know, the gateway to you paying for things.
Oh yeah.
And then what are you going to do at the grow? And you know, the vendors don't know. If I go in right now and I go pay for gas and my card is declined, they don't know why it was declined, you know, and the same is going to be with CBDC. If you say something they don't like, you can't get groceries at the grocery store. And it's not, and the worst part about it is it's AI doing it because it's happening in real time. So, that's really, really scary to put a computer in charge of something that's so fundamental for life that we've got to be able to pay bills and whatnot. So that's where I seen this as kind of a harbinger of that to come. You know, Davos talked about, misinformation is one of their key focuses. Now we got the 50 and five. They're trying to make networks in these countries that don't have good networking. And that's all to usher in CBDC. And you put the information piece with that, with AI, then they can turn you off.
That's right. Yeah. The information is fundamental to everything. Well, that's their number one thing. And of course, the other theme that they had was to rebuild trust. How do you rebuild trust? Well, you shut down any criticism of you. You shut down and you memory hole everything that was done in the past. Or you get people on media who say, well, that's 4 years ago. We don't want to talk about that. I'm so sick and tired of talking about that. And so you shut down, you memory hole the past. You get shills who are going to shut down any debate or criticism of what was done in the past. And you tell everybody how wonderful everything is going to be. Do the same thing. I mean, this is the politician's dream. They all want to rebuild trust after they betrayed the trust and after they betrayed their promises and betrayed the Constitution. They want to rebuild that trust every time they run for re-election, pretty much, these guys. And so this is the ticket. This is the way they do it. And the artificial intelligence is going to really weaponize this. Everybody's rightfully concerned about autonomous killer robots. How do you stop this stuff? Well, what they're setting up is a system of autonomous killer robots that are going to kill you financially. They're going to kill you in terms of, you know, putting you in an open air prison where you can't go anywhere, can't do anything, can't buy anything. That's going to be the autonomous Stasi. That is going to be the autonomous instantaneous police who are going to shut down everything preemptively if you are a dissident, because they've redefined dissident to be an enemy of the state. That's really where we are now.
Yeah. And here's you talk about memory hole and stuff. They'll memory hole what they've done to rebuild trust, but guarantee you they have saved everything you've done.
Oh yes. And
GoTrees talked about this. They have these massive, data storage places, in the desert where they don't have water, they're using up all the water to cool it and stuff. That's right. And their AI is at the point now, it has the ability to go back and kind of build a profile on you.
Yes.
And see if you're, what kind of American are you? Right. And then here's another scary thing. So I was playing around with Substack. I uploaded one of my audio things to it, and they have this new feature where they'll build a transcript. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty cool. I thought I'd let it run and see what it was about. And lo and behold, it did a pretty good job. And I went in there and it said, speaker one, speaker two, speaker three, because I had three people on, two plus myself. And so I went in there and plugged in, okay, speaker one was Jason Barker, speaker two was so-and-so. And I was like, is that really a good idea? Because now they're getting the AI knows what my voice sounds like. Mm-hmm. Kind of like with Facebook, I noticed that I was putting pictures of myself and my friends up back when I used to use Facebook, and it was auto-tagging them. It knew what they looked like. The facial recognition is there, and we fed it all this information.
Yes. Yeah, so that's right. Yeah, it's the life log that everybody thought was so creepy that was being run by, Homeland Security, total information awareness and everything, and life log where they're going to keep everything on everybody. Edward Snowden talked about permanent record, but they just moved out of social media and everybody put the stuff up voluntarily, and so that's what they're data mining. It's it truly is amazing. In terms of the transcript stuff. I was using, for a short period of time, I was using Otter, and it was going through, and then last summer, it would pull the stuff in, and it was somewhat useful, but there was still a lot of stuff that I had to manually do. Then it got a lot better, and then it even started doing outlines, and it started looking to see, where the general trend was. In other words, it could comprehend not just words, but concepts and trends and what I was saying to put them in an outline. And that was getting better and better. Then they increased the price of it to be like two or three times what it was. It had been like $100 a year or something. It went up like $200. And I said, that's too rich. I'm not going to do that. And we have the capability of outputting the audio for me to put in descriptions. We can do that out of Adobe. It's not as good, but I'm using that now. But as I looked at that and as it was getting better and better, Jason, I thought, well, it's just a matter of time before they apply this to the podcast in order to do censorship, because it's already being done by Spotify. And they wanted to sell those tools to other companies a couple of years ago. They were saying, we can help you identify people that you don't want to have on your platform. And once they do that, we're done. It'll be the same thing that they're doing on YouTube.
I just started using Spotify recently, and this could have been the initial triggering event. Was I got Spotify hooked up for both the shows, and I added Google Podcasts to it, so it pushes it out to Google Podcasts. Mm-hmm. So that happened not too long before the incident with Tiger happened, but I see this coming. And I was looking. We've done a lot of reporting on EMF recently because there are health effects. To mm-hmm. EMF, mm-hmm. as many reports as there are that say there are no health effects. Maybe there's no significant health effects of just 5G in this band, but there's like multiple frequencies on that one tower, plus 4G, plus 3G, mm-hmm. plus your mm-hmm. Starlink. I mean, that stuff all it's cumulative.
That's right.
So, I was looking at 5G maps and I noticed where they're putting all these towers, and I got it written here. We got 47,000 towers in the U.S.
Wow.
For 5G. And they're, besides the big cities and stuff, they're really focused along the highway system. mm-hmm. like those corridors. Mm-hmm. And it could be because that's where all businesses and things are. That's what I think it is. Your gas stations, you know.
And it was that way, you know, even when you look at cell phone coverage, because when we were in North Carolina, we were in a dead area. We couldn't get cell phone coverage. We couldn't get even TV coverage. We couldn't. The only thing I could get was a one of these text pagers, you know, that was the only thing that worked in that area. And it was actually a good thing because we weren't getting the EMF stuff, right? But now they want to blanket everybody with it. As you point out, they're not doing any tests on, first of all, we have higher accepted densities than any other country, number one. Number two, when they test these things, they don't subject you to the entire spectrum of things that you're being exposed to all the time. They do one at a time. And so that's right. another story, you know, just like if you're taking taking drugs, you know, they isolate the drugs, but they don't look at the combined effect of, well, what if we were to give them all of this stuff, you know, put fluoride in the water and all the rest of the, you know, what is this toxic soup do? And what are the combined effects of these things? Because then whenever you get a drug, they always talk about interactions with other things. That's a known thing, but they always ignore that when they do their tests.
Right. And that's what we've been reporting on. And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, the issue with Google, I see that going to be this, that's going to be the same issue when we go to CBDC. And I started thinking about the backbone of how they need this network, mm-hmm. this 5G network to have this global currency, right? Whether it's a national currency, a CBDC, which will, I think, eventually be married into a global. And Tiger did this report. I wanted to bring this up. You were talking about New Hampshire earlier. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this House Bill 1700-FN?
No, I haven't. What is that?
Okay, this is great. It says, I'll just read it real quick. It's a real short title. Mm-hmm. Prohibiting the intentional release of polluting emissions, including cloud seeding, weather modification,
yes.
excessive electromagnetic radio frequency, and microwave radiation. This could be, now this is a partisan bill. It's not bipartisan. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why they're trying to play with the elections over there so this don't pass. If this passes, that's great because we can prevent them from building the network mm-hmm, that they need mm-hmm, mm-hmm. for CBDC.
Yeah, I want to talk to Angry Tiger about that. I did see that, and I saw his report on that. I didn't remember the number that was there. You say it's a partisan bill. Is it Democrats that are pushing that forward?
No, it's it says it's. It's no, it's Republicans.
Oh, Republicans. Well, and then it's got a good chance of passing because they got a Republican majority. But yeah, that is very interesting. I do want to talk to Angry Tiger about that because it essentially admits that this is going on. Yeah, this is pretty clear that they are on to what is happening with chemtrails and with EMF and the health effects of that. And it's a known thing. I've talked many times, Jason, about the Fry effect. Alan Fry worked for the Navy. And just as they kind of accidentally, some of these radar technicians accidentally discovered the effects of the microwave transmitters and how they could heat up their coffee, you know, they put their coffee on top of it, it gets hot, it's like, whoa. Then they investigate that and it's like, oh yeah, it's the microwave radiation that's heating up the coffee. So they come out with a radar range microwave, right? They called it a radar range. And Fry found that it affected people biologically. And I first talked about that in conjunction with the Havana syndrome. You know, people said they heard clicking and things like that. Well, that's what Alan Fry heard with certain frequencies. You know, people, it would trigger your auditory nerves and you would hear, you know, clicking noises and things like that, but it had other deleterious biological effects with you as well. And so this is a known thing. And the question is, you know, everybody's going to have a different tolerance to it. There's going to be different densities that people are exposed to. There'll be different combinations of EMF stuff that is out there. But our government really doesn't care. As a matter of fact, they want to shut down any concerns about health as being a conspiracy theory. They even want to shut down the concerns, the obvious, what everybody knows, as you're talking about, that they're going to use this for surveillance, that it's going to be the backbone of the smart city surveillance. And everybody knows that. And yet, that was one of the things, one of the earliest things about Trump that got me concerned about him and opposing him was the fact that he was pushing 5G so hard. And at the same time, they would say, well, we got to have it and we got to keep Huawei and the Chinese out of here because we don't want them spying on us. And it's like, okay, so you can spy on people with 5G, but it's okay if the American government spies on us, but not if the Chinese spy on us, is what he's saying. And then they would at the same time say, well, if you are concerned about privacy and surveillance and the police state, or if you're concerned about healthcare, you're just a paranoid conspiracy theorist. And yet You know, they all, we know that we know. It's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, it was really clever. They turned the 5G on about the time the vaccines were rolling out.
Yes.
And even if you didn't have 5G in your area, I've covered this, there's a carrier wave that's constantly running. Mm-hmm. Whether it's kind of like an FM radio station. If you're not tuned into a particular station, the waves are still hitting you. You just got to tune in.
Yeah.
So it's very clever because they try to say there isn't any health effects. Well, number one, this bill, it admits that there's health effects and they know about it.
Yes.
And I was looking at this NIH document. This is rather interesting. It's from the NIH, and there was a study done. It's titled Evidence for a Connection Between Coronavirus Disease 19 and Exposure to Radio Frequency Radiation, Including 5G. So I don't know what this person was alluding to here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to subscribe to that 5G causes COVID. I'm not going to say that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a far reach.
Well, you know, it was actually snake venom in the water, right?
Oh, snake venom in the water. Well, what's interesting, if you go look at this document, I highly suggest everybody do this because this will show you the gravity of overexposure to electromagnetic radiation. So they got a table in here and it puts side by side the signs and symptoms of COVID and the signs and symptoms of overexposure. And there's a lot of overlap. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that this could have been a lot of the clinical diagnosis back before we had tests could have been them turning the it's not a far reach to say, well, they turn these towers on. I know my high blood pressure that I have now came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I historically had low blood pressure and it was right when they turned the 5G on and there's a 5G tower a couple blocks from where I was working.
Wow.
So
well, you look at New York City and I covered this. They had people in these apartment blocks because, you know, 5G is line of sight. And so they have to put these things everywhere. And people would wake up in the morning and there would be one of these things right next to their window or right next to the window of their child. And in some of these instances that had a label on it and said, you know, stay 9 feet away from this thing or whatever. So they called up the technicians and they said, you put this right against the window where my kid's crib is. And it says to keep 9 feet away from it. They said, we'll be right out. They came out and they took the label off.
Yeah.
And left the thing. I mean, they have absolutely no concern. And even going back to 1996, the Telecommunications Act during Clinton, right? It was like the 1986 Act for vaccines, except it was for the telecommunications industry. And what they said at the time, because they wanted to roll out a network of cell phones, they said, you will not be able to object to these things on the basis of health. You'll not be able to object to these cell phone towers. And they subsequently found in some areas, they said, well, we've got cancer clumps. You put these things up at a school and we got a lot of kids that have got cancer. And they took them down because they don't have the authority to stop us from taking these things down if we have determined people at the local level. But they tried to shut this down. They said, you can object to it if you don't like the way it looks. And we'll build something around it if the local government doesn't. But we're not going to let the local governments take it down. Well, local governments did take them down in spite of all that. But that's where they want to ignore the health issues because they've got a bigger agenda and they really don't care about our health.
What they don't tell you, David, is the studies they've done when they say that this is safe. The only thing that they're looking at is heating of the body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at, certain frequencies, especially the pulsing ones, can break down DNA. Now, these studies have been done in rats, mm-hmm. but they don't apply that. When they set these safety guidelines, it's only how much will it heat up the brain or heat up the body. Which another funny thing is, I talk about having a handheld device kind of like isolated from everything, thrown in a Faraday cage that has all the, you know, how to garden, how to do kind of like a digital library mm-hmm. in case everything goes down like EMP or something, you put it in a Faraday cage. Somebody had suggested I use an old microwave. So I did a little experiment. I threw my phone in the microwave. I didn't turn on, of course, just the phone sitting in the microwave and I grabbed my wife's phone and I was able to call it. Hmm. So it's something that cage, that little mesh on the screen and everything, it does not keep all them waves in there. So
they're different frequencies too. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, everybody would, all of this superstition about airplanes, put it in airplane mode. You know, no, you can't put it in just an airplane mode. You got to turn it off and all the rest of this stuff. And it's like, lady, if this is a problem, you know, we're sitting on the ground here. We're by the airport. Everybody's got a phone. You got cell phone towers all over the place. If this was an issue, we'd never be able to get off the ground, number one. And so now they've moved that back. I always suspected that that particular prohibition was to try to cover up for the lie about the Pentagon plane. It was Ken Olson's wife who was trying to call. I always suspected that that had something to do with, they didn't want people to see that was a lie. And who knows what their motivations were on it. But we do know, like I said before, you know, the microwave frequencies would heat up liquids, right? But higher frequencies or different frequencies would have different effects on people.
Right.
And so you would have, you'd hear clicking. Or if you go with ELF, which is what the submarines use to, what they use to communicate with submarines all over the world, extremely low frequencies, massively large antennas buried in the Midwest subterraneanly. You know, if you go with an ELF, they knew that that could create certain psychological distress, nausea, other things like that with people given a strong enough signal. And that's the other part of the puzzle. You have places like Brussels where they started rolling out the 5G and they said, there's, you know, we're not going to allow this to happen here. And and you looked at the densities that they had and their allowed EMF density signal strength was way, way, way below what ours is. I forget what the multiple was, but it was like 20 or 30 times more we allow here than a lot of places would throughout the Western world.
Yeah, I was sifting through NIH documents, looking at different studies, and yeah, you're right. The different frequencies, they actually mess, at least in the rats and the ferret, they did it in ferrets too, a little bit larger animal. They would measure the brain chemistry. And I'm talking, they would do like 15 minutes of exposure two times a day for 5 days. That's it. Way, way, way less than we use our devices, you know? And they were, I couldn't pronounce half the names of the chemicals they were measuring, but you know, it throws the brain chemistry off. It potentially could, depending on the frequencies, and they were in the lower frequency range. It's lower than the 5G. You see these kids now, every kid's on some kind of anxiety medication. They're on, you know, antidepressants, SSRIs. I mean, it makes you wonder, is this exposure, this overexposure of EMF, the more we throw it in our world, I mean, we're swimming in it.
Yeah.
We're just swimming in it. That's is right. This what's causing this, I don't know, mass psychosis, maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe it's responsible for Trump derangement syndrome. You
know? A strong delusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, and the other thing, people put it in their pocket, right? And we're having problems with sterility, you know, and reproduction and everything. You know, it's another one of these issues, though, where, you know, they rush it past and say, we don't want to do the test. And that's the biggest red flag. When they do that, you know that they know that there's something going on. Look at how they have poo-pooed the idea that, you know, using a cell phone and holding up to your head for a very long period of time, how that is going to, you know, increase the chance of a brain tumor or something like that. And yet as they poo-pooed that as a conspiracy theory, as paranoid, you still see that Apple has that legal language in their agreements there. Travis, yes, just wrote, he says it's called the World Wide Web. If you aren't the spider, you're the fly. That's good, Travis.
That's good. That's patent that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, but to bring it back around, you know, the Google thing kind of got me thinking about what it's going to be like on a global scale when you have a physical address. That's going to be your global ID that carries all of your, you know, your money, your medical history, everything. The only way, we're not going to be able to stop it. The only way we can possibly slow it down is to look at how the backbone it runs on. So looking at some of these documents and learning, schooling myself up on EMF, looking at the House bill that they're trying to pass, these are the things we can do at a state level to kind of like not make it possible for them to have this global surveillance, at least in your state.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, and there's some state movements that are being done now in terms of CBDC and other things like that as well to try to put obstacles in the way, and I've got a couple of things about that as well. We are not helpless with this, and there are plenty of things that we can do to shut it down, and that's the key. You know, we need to understand where they're coming from. so that we know how to shut them down at the local level. I think that's the key thing. And they've always said, think globally, act locally. Well, we need to understand what the globalist agenda is, and we need to defeat it locally. That's really what needs to be done. Well, it's always great talking to you, Jason, and I really like what you guys do at Knights of the Storm. Give us the web address. Is it theknightsofthestorm.com?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. I always get confused, and I confuse myself even on my own website. You know, is it the, or is it just, but it is theknightsofthestorm.com. Go there, and they're really trying to build a community of a lot of alternative people, true alternative media that is focused on the truth and not on just simply getting sensational claims out there to build their audience. And so they've got a lot of like-minded people that they reference their shows on there. They've got a like a TV guide schedule where you can see where everybody is and what times they broadcast. But of course, everybody keeps their stuff archived, so you can see it all the time anyway. So they're doing a great service there at the Knights of the Storm. And again, Jason has the Foxhole Report. That's on Substack, right?
No, I do it on Rumble. I'm doing it on freeworld.fm right now, which is Billy Ray Valentine and Tony Arterburner have got that up off the ground.
Yes.
But I do put it on Substack, both the Knights of the Storm and the Foxhole as an audio platform.
Good. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, we need to start using that. I don't know why we don't use that, because that, you know, I think it's a lot more resilient to censorship than pretty much any of the other platforms. I really need to start moving over to Substack more. I've got a Substack there, but I haven't really used it much. So we need to start activating that, don't we, Travis? Well, thanks. It's great talking to you, Jason, and good luck with that. But it's an example of what we're all going to be facing. And, you know, we see what is happening in the UK. It is a direct movement by people in the bank. They denied that there was anything personal about it, but then they got the emails and they found that these people were actually conspiring to shut him down and to debank him. And that is just one of many aspects. They've got, there's a lot of different heads for this Hydra monster that's coming after us, but it all is focused on global control, especially of information, but also of finances. So sorry to see that happening to you, but it's good to sound the warning to people as to what is happening. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Thank you, David.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.